right, and we are back. You are listening to Make Art, Make Music, Make Love, and I'm your host, Sid Yiddish. And I'd like to tell you a story, like I always do, about how I meet my guests. And my next guest is certainly, I'm certainly no stranger with him, because I've kind of known him for a, how long has it been, Rich Experience? About 5 years, maybe? Longer?
Oh, hi, Sid. Yeah, I think it's been probably over 5 years at this point.
Yeah, and we met, you know, I've been scratching my head on this one, but I swear, all my live in-house guests, of all, I've all met them through Flabby Hoffman. It's a, I think that's probably a plus.
Well, Flab is the sun that everything revolves around,
yeah,
or the planet, or the black hole, as they say.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what they say. So I know you as a musician and as a technical guy, and obviously as a performer, but what else do you do?
What else do I do? Well, you know, I'm actually a food scientist. I work at a place called Unilever. I'm in charge of making Hellman's dressings and Hellman's mayonnaise. pretty much everything that you get in a restaurant that's Hellman's mayonnaise, Hellman's dressings, ranch, blue cheese, Caesar, you name it. I'm in charge of the formulation. I make tens of thousands of pounds of that stuff practically every day.
That's a far cry from musician. Where did it all begin for you?
Well, it started back in college. Well, let's just say that my dad was a chemist. Okay. He worked at Amoco making greases and oils and stuff like that, formulating that kind of stuff. So I got into atoms and molecules and stuff of that nature. And, you know, I got a chemistry degree while I was in college, and I was also a gymnast at the time. I was on the men's gymnastics team.
Yeah, you certainly are built for it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so I still kind of work out. You know, it's been a while, but I have a pommel horse. That was my specialty. I have one actually in my living room, which I take out and use on occasion, especially at parties. And I have a general routine I do at parties where I take an article of clothing off for each set that I do.
Yeah. Wow.
That works out pretty well.
Okay. All right. So so you became a food scientist, more or less. Is that where you... is that where you ultimately ended up, or where you did a lot of, like, what we do, is like a lot of retail jobs? And
well, I got a degree in chemistry, and then I found I couldn't find a job, so I ended up temping. I temped a lot.
Where did you graduate from?
University of Iowa. And so as a temp, I started out at one of the places was Kraft Foods, because Kraft hired a lot of temps at the time, and they still do. They outsource a lot of their, you know, technical work, technicians and stuff, to temporaries, mainly because temporaries aren't on the books. They don't count as a head count for them, and it makes it look like it doesn't cost them any money to have temps there. So I ended up temping there, and I temped at a bunch of other places. I was an ink chemist for a while. I also was an elastomer chemist, which deals with rubbers and stretchy stuff like that. But I always ended up back at Kraft, and I always liked food science because, one, you can eat what you make, and two, it generally doesn't give you cancer or kill you.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. You're probably right about that.
Well, I mean, there's bad things about food, but I mean, you know, slugging down a pint of, you know, Ditto ink will do you in pretty well.
Yeah, I'm certain of that. I'm really certain of that. So what brought you to music?
Well, I've always been a musician, just as a hobby. Back when I was a kid, I started playing clarinet in band. I actually hated the clarinet, and I still hate the clarinet. I'll never play that thing again. But I went through high school playing the clarinet, but I really loved synthesizers, keyboards, and stuff like that. And somewhere around my high school time, I finally got my first synthesizer, which was a Korg Poly 61M. And that thing made all kinds of cool sounds. And me and my friend Derek Wu got together and formed a band called Food, which was just the two of us. And we used to just sit in my room in my house, and we'd write music and record. And we did that for years.
And did any of that ever get out?
Yeah, some of it came out. I mean, we've got MySpace under the name of Food. We wrote, I think, somewhere over 100 songs.
Wow.
It was a lot, yeah. And I've still got them. I can always put them out there somewhere. Very, you know, they're orchestrated with drum machines, multiple synthesizers, that kind of thing. The kind of stuff I don't do now, actually. I've given all that up.
For just conventional work?
For musically, I'm into simplicity. You know, I go with minimalism. I don't use a sequencer. I don't use drum machines anymore. If I can't play it with my fingers, I don't play it at all. And if I'm using more than, say, one or two fingers, I'm probably using too many fingers. So I try to use less than that if possible.
Okay. What do you think is the best part of your work?
Well, let's see. Best part of my work is probably giving presentations. See, the deal is the people I work with don't know that I do this on the side. They don't know that I'm rich experience, that I go out and I play shows, and I make fun of my job, and I tell crazy stories about various food science things, mainly because I don't think they'd like it, actually. They probably wouldn't like that at all. So what I do is that when I have a chance to give a presentation at work, I use my rich experience skills, you know, kind of on the low level and put on this crazy presentation where I play a flute or I do something off the wall. Generally, people really like it, but the last time I did something like that, the new head of the department got a little miffed on that, so I got taken down a little bit on that. I was a little angry, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. You know, you got to put your work face on, you got to go into work, you got to make that money.
Yeah, I haven't had a job in close to 4 years, so I know where you're coming from. In that sense, I mean, I've done gigs. I've gigged around as Santa Claus and worked in a haunted house and, let me think, oh, yes, the Ludacris job. A couple things here and there. I think...
You've never worked as an accountant or anything like that,
no,
Sid?
A
banker, I think,
no,
maybe?
No, I... my first career was I was a journalist for probably a dozen years, did mostly weeklies and monthly newspapers, mostly small towns, local suburban papers, and did some radio here and there, did a lot of freelance work.
Fisherman?
Well, knife in my hand at age 5 took care of my fishing, so... stood up in a boat, which was probably my fault, but you know, you don't stand up in a boat.
That's, and you don't get into a knife fight with a fish either.
No, and that's why I prefer to wear fish hats over knife hats. You know, they just fit a lot nicer, and they feel a lot easier too, you know.
Yes, you wear the trout well.
Yeah,
Sid.
Yeah. Is that a trout or is it a bass?
It's some sort of fish, and it's green. It's scaly. It sits on. For those of you that don't know, Sid wears a fish on his head through most of the time.
Yeah,
other people wear hats on their heads. Sid wears a fish.
Right, but the fish aren't biting currently, so I'd have to say that weather's starting to get warm. I mean, I think it's supposed to be 50 on Sunday, so a hat might come out again. In fact, it was kind of this kind of reminds me of a small story. I was at school. I go to Columbia. That's where I go to grad school. And I was walking down the hall, and I was wearing my yarmulke, which is what I'm wearing now. And there's a kid who's a little bit younger than me, and he looks at me and he says, "Where's your fish hat?" You know, and he had seen it all fall. And I said, "The fish aren't biting yet, so it'll be out soon, though." So everybody loves that fish hat. You know, as old as an ugly and as about as many holes. I think it's what, like. Right now, I think we're on about 20 holes with that thing. All it needs is like one other tear, and it'll go. But I've had it for almost 14 years. It's almost as old as my car, so it's a year younger. It's about 13 years. It'll be 13 years this year. So,
wow, that's an old fish.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, so I know you're a co-MC at Phyllis's Musical Inn. I mean, for Elizabeth's Crazy Little Thing with Elizabeth.
Yes, Elizabeth's Crazy Little Thing, second Wednesday of the month at Phyllis's Musical Inn in Chicago.
Yeah, so how did you get hooked up with that?
Elizabeth and I have been friends for quite a while. Actually, my roommate, Shag, used to run Shag's Crazy Little Thing, and he stopped doing that years ago. And Elizabeth and I were like, you know, somebody should do it. Somebody should take over. It's been years since that was going on. So we got together with the owner of the bar and started up the Elizabeth's Crazy Little Thing. And I ended up being in charge of the sound and wrangling people in and out and stuff like that. And I get to play a set, you know, every time we do a show. So it works out good practice for me. And we get some really good acts. We have a feature every month. And next week, it's going to be next week Wednesday is our next show, and it's Lack of Trying.
Yeah, and that's, I believe it's...
Is our feature.
Yes. Right. Mark G. and Chad, I don't know Chad's last name.
Yes, but they're very good. I do like them, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, they don't try, and it's really good.
Yeah, it's lacking on my brain,
too. Right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and of course... Mark, who is also associated with Flabby Hoffman, which is another Flabby Hoffman.
Right, the Flab goes round. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So how long have you been with the show now?
I've been doing the show. I think it's about 5 years now. Pretty close to 5 years, somewhere around that area. The show's going well. You know, we're working it. We're doing it. You know, it's kind of like making a big batch of. Caesar dressing, you know. You usually want to make a big batch of Caesar. It's somewhere in the vicinity of 10,000 pounds in one batch. And, you know, if I make some changes to that, you know, they come to me and they say, hey, Rich, is this Caesar okay? Can we bottle it? And I look at them, you know, I just give them the eye, and I'm like, yeah, it's okay, man. Go ahead, bottle it.
So do you get to take home what you've made? Or?
Oh, yeah, I can take home as much as I can physically carry. Well, I probably couldn't eat all of that, but you can live off mayonnaise. It is a truth, and does not spoil. So if the world goes down and the apocalypse happens, if you can grab as much mayonnaise as possible, it'll stay with you. It may not taste so good after about a year or so, but you know, you can just keep eating it. It'll keep you alive.
Can you use any of those other kind of dressings for anything else other than what they're made for, which is consumption?
Well, lubrication, probably, you know. I don't know how well that actually go. I've never actually used it as a lubricant, but
I've never seen mayonnaise used as a lubricant. I've seen other things used, like salsa. I think was my favorite one. I've seen it used. I've personally never used it, but I saw it used. Without saying too much, I just remember it was used on a banana, and that's all I can tell you.
Interesting. Yes, I think banana mayonnaise would probably work out pretty well.
Well, no, it was the salsa was used with a banana. That's what I mean.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I didn't eat salsa for about another 7 years after that, after what I saw. So it was kind of that was in the late 90s, so I guess it would have been about 2000, I think I went back to it. But that's neither here nor there. So at Phyllis's, what do you consider... What have been your best shows at Phyllis's?
Well, we've had we do a different feature every month, and of course we've had Mr. Sid Yiddish here. He's been our feature for quite a few times, and I tend to record and video the shows, and I have the videos up on the web. If anyone wants to search for Elizabeth's Crazy Little Thing on YouTube, it'll pull it right up. Also, search for Rich Experience. I'm up there too. Very easily searchable, and I have a website, richexperience.net, which links to all of that. So if you want to see what I look like, you know, I do have a six pack that I carry around with me. I'm not an alcoholic, but I do drink occasionally.
I've got a keg myself.
Oh yes. So that's where you keep the keg.
Yeah, that's exactly where I keep the keg. So your best shows, though? What have you considered your best shows? I mean, the shows that just, for some reason, in your mind, what might have been your best show or shows there?
Let's see. Oh, the Christmas shows are always fun. You know, it's always some kind of Santa Claus revival with, cannibal Santa Claus, sexual Santa Claus. You know, it's always kind of some kind of weird division on that kind of theme. And, you know, the farther out and the weirder it gets, you know, the more I like it. The more the show just congeals and keeps going.
Yeah. And how about your, we'll go to the opposite side, from best to worst.
Best to worst. Well, you know, there's not really a lot of worse in that. Everybody has a good time no matter what. I mean, sometimes we don't have a lot of people showing up for me. Hey, you know, that's more time for me to play. That's more time for everybody to get up there and do something.
Yeah.
And the talent is always primo. And so if I can have somebody going up for an extra, you know, 5-10 minutes, no one's going to say no to that.
Have you ever had any, let's say, celebrities come in or famous folks or somebody who are seemingly famous or seemingly think they're famous or...
Well, everybody there thinks they're famous, of course.
Yeah, sure, yeah, sure. So, yeah. So not really anybody is what you're saying, right?
No, not at this point.
No. Okay.
Although we did have Shag show up, I think, once, but he was in disguise, and we weren't exactly sure if he was there or not. So it's still kind of a rumor.
Okay. And what... always losing that thing. There we go. If you were to describe yourself in 5 words, what do you think they would be?
Let's see. I am original. I am spunky. I like the color green and orange. And for my last word, I would say loud, yet not too loud.
So what? Where does... Where does orange fit in with... Well, describe orange with you.
Oh, orange is a nice... I like orange because it's a nice color. I'm into the longer wavelengths myself. Blue or purple is a little bit too too short of a wavelength for me. Red's a little bit too long, but if you go to orange, you know, it's a little bit in between there. So that's what I kind of like about it. It's a power color. You know, it gives you a little strength. It gives you a little vibrance. And that's always a good thing to have, especially when you're making 50,000 pounds of garlic ranch every day. And, man, you can smell that stuff. It just sticks with you.
Yeah, I imagine it goes straight up the nostrils. And
oh, yeah, straight up everything.
Do you have to as a result, do you not eat that stuff as much?
No, I eat it every day, actually. Well, it's part of my job. When I get to work at... 8 o'clock in the morning, first thing I do is crack open a bottle of mayonnaise and start shoveling it down my throat. And usually there's 3 or 4 of them, and one of them may have a problem with it. So the key is to try to figure out which one kind of tastes a little off or might have a little funk to it. And I just try to taste it and figure out which one it is, and then I try to figure out what's wrong with it and how did it happen. So it's kind of like a detective, a mayonnaise detective, a detective of food.
So this reminds me of a song. I know you have a song that I've heard a few of them when I've seen you, and I was wondering if you would like to play a song for me.
Oh, most definitely, yeah. Let's see, I can play my song, let's start out with Workface. Workface is an interesting song. It's what it's about is me and my friend Derek were hanging out watching TV. We were watching a movie. That's what it was. Final Fantasy, the movie. The one where it's in CG, but it's kind of old CG. And the people, they're trying to look real, but they're not really real. That uncanny valley kind of clicks in. And Derek goes, man, these people, they all have this weird look to their face, you know, these unreal people. They all have this face that makes them look like they're all at work all the time. I'm like, oh, you mean like their work face? And I'm like, yeah. Then I thought, you know, it's, you know, when I go to work, I'm not like the same person I am hanging here with you, Sid. You know, I'm just completely different. You know, I wake up, I'm smiling, and I'm saying, good morning, how are you? Good morning. I put my hair back in a ponytail. You know, I put on the corporate face, and I go to work. And then when I get off work, I go back to my normalcy, which is the rich experience.
I wanted to ask you, like my name, Sid Yiddish, stage name. You okay there?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Just tripped over the gourd or just went elsewhere.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Is Rich Experience a stage name as well?
Rich Experience is a stage name, yes.
I usually don't ask real names for obvious reasons.
Oh, well, I would not give it to you. Definitely
good,
not.
Good,
that kind of happened.
Good, good.
No, that would be a bad thing. No. I mean, the stuff I do could probably get me fired, so.
Exactly. That's why.
That'll never happen. Actually, you can search Rich Experience, and you will never find my real name. I pride myself on the fact that I am not connected to that at all, and I have gone to great lengths to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, when you have a hobby you do on the side, be it you know, it's playing music, comedy, or, you know, porn or something of that nature. You have to make sure that your work people never know about that under any circumstance. It's very difficult to do. It's kind of Batman-esque in a way.
I promise you, I can promise you in that terms. I mean, everybody tries to find out my real name, and they get my real name. But now that I'm in grad school, I was it's funny. I was under my real name, and then. It turns out there's two Sids in my program, and so they call that Sid, who actually that's her stage name, and because she has a real name and it's not Sid, and of course my name is Sid, and so now they call me Sid Yiddish, and it's just hilarious. That started 2 months into the program.
No kidding. I thought that was a real name.
Sid's my middle name.
I see. Huh. Very good. So, Sid, you want to power me up here? I can.
Yeah, let me see what I can do here. Which one are you on?
I think I'm on 3 there.
3. Okay.
The one that's down.
This one?
Let's see if we get anything.
Right.
That's nothing on there. Light's on, though.
Okay, wait a sec here. Yeah, let's try. There we go. There we go. Yeah, there we go. There we go. All right.
Yeah, you understand. I run the sound at Phyllis's when we do the show, and they're well known as having the kind of iffy equipment there. But you know, I've been told that I bring out the best sound of the place has ever had. So. All right, this is a song called "Work Face." I got my work face on. Come work face on. Come work face on. Come work face on. Hey there, how are you? Well, I'm fine, and how are you? I've got my work face on. Come work face on. Come work face on. Come work face on. Hey there, how are you? Well, I'm fine, and how are you? I've got my work face on. Come work face on. Come work face on. Come work face on. Asshole. Dweeb. Dumbass. Jerk. Kiss there. And why? You betcha. I got my work face on. 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 Na 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 na.
Yeah, I know that slipped, and that's okay. Yeah, I it happens. It happens. It happens on occasion, but don't worry. My show's already down for the day, so you know it's a Debbie Downer, as they say. So it's all right. But it's all right. It's all right. It's all right, folks. And I know you heard that out there. And yes, he did say that. And don't worry, I take responsibility for it. So that's the way it goes. I'll just get the talking to. I'm certain. Afterwards, but anyway, I wanted to ask you, what do you consider to have been your lucky break?
Lucky break. Well, you know, I don't know if I've ever had a lucky break in a sense. What happened was my roommate Derek was doing the open mics. He plays bass and sings. And my deal was, I always said, you know, hey, man, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do the open mic. I'm going to play. I play keyboards. I'm going to go out there and do it. Well, you know, I said that for months. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to go out there, there's no way I'm going to play, like, horizontally. You know, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to play the keytar. It's kind of like a keyboard, but you stand up and you know, with a strap, and you hold it like that. So what I did is I took this old little Yamaha keyboard I had with the speakers on it and stuff, and I Velcroed it to a guitar. I took the strings off the guitar, I took the rest of it out, and I just Velcroed this keyboard to the guitar. And then I went out there and I started playing. I played the song Happy Cheese and Skateboarding and a couple others I don't even remember. But from then on, you know, everybody seemed to like it, so I just kept doing it. And I kept reaching within my soul, you know, deep inside, to pull out what was interesting to me, like experiences that I've had, and then just distill them down into a song.
Is that your keytar there? Is that the original one, or
No, the original one was actually a keyboard that was Velcroed to a guitar. The one I have now is a Roland AX5, actually.
Okay.
And this is actually a, you know, produced by Roland. It's one of the few keytars that is actually still made.
Is it a full keytar?
Yeah. This is a full-on keytar.
I'm curious to know what happened to your first one.
The first one's still around. I still got it. It didn't work all that great because the keyboard that I Velcroed to it was like this a toy practically. I mean, I was just lucky it had a MIDI out, and I in order to get a sound, I had to bring another keyboard, which was this enormous keyboard I had. It weighed about 85 pounds, and I had to haul that with me and then plug it in to the giant keyboard, and the sound came out of that while I played the little keytar. And now I've kind of slimmed down a little bit. I've gone to about 40 pounds of equipment that I carry around.
Yeah. Sounds like something that sounds like a great, great, great invention. It just sounds like something that Dr. Nothing would play.
Yeah.
Dr. Nothing, of course, is Jason.
So, oh, of course.
You know, who virtually runs Multiculti.
Very cool, yeah. I consider it kind of a kind of folk music. I mean, everybody tries to they ask me what kind of music do you do, and really there's no
folk music,
no description for
it. Do you
mean
folk music as for folks, or do you mean folk music? Are you more of a category that no one can pigeonhole you in?
Well, pretty much. There's nowhere to pigeonhole it. Folk music for me comes closest. I mean, it's an electronic instrument. It's not an acoustic instrument, but my songs deal with the feelings of the common man. You know, the song "Happy Cheese" is about a man who, me actually, who goes to work as a temp and gets fired, has like bizarre dreams of revenge, and then ends up taking drugs. Although it is a happy song. You know.
Oh, sure. But drugs make you happy, right?
Well, all right, of course, at the end.
I mean, the legal ones, too, not just the illegal ones.
Yeah, and I do a song about my girlfriends. I have 8 girlfriends, and I do, I count them down. There's a song about doll heads, because doll heads are just weird, and I met a girl who had all these doll heads. And the song Maybe I Step on You is a treatise on life, death, and redemption.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything that's... you have any sad songs?
Let's see. Yes, I have a few sad songs. The song "Crawl Space." It's about myself when I was a kid back in Naperville, Illinois. I had this room, and inside this room was this closet, big closet. And inside the closet was like one of those little holes, you know, with this board, and you could open it up and you could crawl into the attic. And I used to hang out there, you know, and I used to like think about this little girl in fourth grade that I used to know. I used to have these little fantasies of her like coming and hanging out with me in this little crawl space area. You know, that just, it never happened. So in that case, it was kind of sad.
When you write a song, how do you start? What's your evolution of your song?
Generally, I have something in my life I want to sing about, or something that moves me a lot. And then I try to pull that out, and I kind of have it in my head already. Just a chorus, and then I distill it. I try to distill it into its bare essence. I try to keep my songs under 3 minutes, if possible.
How long does it take you to write a song?
That depends. Some of these come out pretty quick. Most of the new ones, it takes about a couple of weeks, maybe more. And then generally I'll just go out and play it before I even have it down. I just kind of throw it, like the old gymnastics term of chucking a move. I go out to the open mic or whatever, and whether I've got it down or I kind of know what I'm going to play or not, I just try to play it anyway. And after like 5 or 6 times of just messing around with it and doing it different ways, I kind of watch the audience, and then it kind of just melds itself to where it should be.
Do you ever write a song and then you like can't figure it out, put it aside and come back to it, or do you just like sort of write them, like crank them out and write them?
I kind of do, but you know, every time I go out and if it's a new song, I go out and I play it live, and I'll record it and I'll come back and listen to it, and then I'll try it a couple of different times. I mean, a lot of the songs that I play now originally started out quite different than the form they're in now.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, like the song Skateboard Rocket Starship, Originally, that was kind of a folky tune in three, you know, but now it's kind of like electronic blast with drum beats and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you improvise at all?
Yeah, I mean, well, generally what I do is I tell a little story before my song. I tell where the song came from, why I'm singing it, what's the background, and I change that up every time I do it, usually. I try to, anyway. And that kind of keeps it fresh for me, so there's no set introduction.
So you say you're a... you yourself consider yourself a folk musician.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't really consider myself a folk musician,
let me rephrase it.
Yeah.
You say you're in the folk category. So if I'm assuming that if you had a guitar as opposed to a keytar, mm-hmm. you would stand there and, you know, you tell a story on stage and you would just start playing.
Yeah, pretty much. That's
kind of what you do.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I do. I mean, you know, it's folky in a sense that it's the human condition. You know, like I stated before, I do a song about video games because I play a lot of video games. And, you know, one of the lines is, I come to your house, I smash your things, where are my coins? And, you know, it's like if video games were reality, and people always say, you know, video games make people go crazy. I'm like, no, they don't. I mean, if video games were, if people took those seriously, they'd be like jumping into somebody's house and smashing all their stuff looking for coins that would shoot out. I mean, that just doesn't happen, you know. Or you could jump on someone's head, you know, and they turn into a giant mushroom or something. You know, stuff like that just doesn't happen. So, I mean, people just don't take video games that seriously.
No, but I guess if they were high, if you jump on somebody's head, they could turn into a giant mushroom.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's, that may happen.
Yeah, and I've never tried it. Not recently, anyway. Yeah. Last century. I didn't try it last century. But I suppose there's still plenty of this century to go around. That's what I hear.
Very good.
Would you like to play another song?
Yeah, sure. Let's do Happy Cheese. That's one that doesn't have anything.
Yeah, okay.
All right, like I said, I started out working at Kraft Foods, and the thing was, when I first started there as a temp, I temped there for quite a while, but as a food scientist, Kraft bought Nabisco at the time, and Nabisco made, of course, the Oreo cookie. And what Nabisco... What Nabisco said was, you know, guys, don't mess with the Oreo cookie. The Oreo cookie's been there for years and years and years. You know, don't mess with that formulation. And Kraft is like, well, you know, Rich, do something cool with it. Make it a little bit different. So what I did is I took this orange flavoring and I encapsulated it in the creamy filling in the orange cookie, in the cookie of the Oreo cookie. And then what I did, the key was, you know, I mean, you wanted people to eat this stuff, you wanted them to like it, but when you ate the first orange Oreo cookie, it didn't really taste that good. When you ate the second orange Oreo cookie, it tasted a little bit better. But when you ate the third orange Oreo cookie, the release factor would kick in, and that was scientifically structured, and as long as you kept shoving them down your throat, you know, you would get that good flavor taste, and it'd be amazing. But I was there one day. I was there on a Friday. I went out on a Thursday, and I, you know, I was out drinking with some friends and stuff, and I got to work on time on Friday, and I'm making this cheese, you know, but of course it's not really a cheese. It's this conglomeration of fats. It's this fat matrix, and in this fat matrix, they put this flavoring called cheese tang, and it gives us this nice cheesy flavor, and what they wanted to do was, like, put it in a Ritz cracker or a Triscuit, and, you know, it'd give you this nice little cheesy mouthfeel and lubricate your esophagus as it came down, you know, as you swallow. And I was making this stuff, you know, it's spinning around, and I was really bored. I couldn't listen to music. I couldn't do anything. It was early in the morning, and I'm singing this little song. I used to sing this little song at work, you know, when I was working, and it went a little something like this.
Happy cheese, happy cheese,
cheese. Everybody out there in Rito Land. Happy cheese. Happy cheese. Happy, 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 happy cheese. Happy cheese. Happy cheese. Happy, happy, happy cheese. So I'm singing my little song. My boss comes walking in. Hey, Richard, how you doing? Pretty good, Rajesh. What's up? Hey, Richard, how long you work here at Kraft? Well, I've been temping here for about 3 years now. Richard, I hate to tell you this, but there's a new policy from upper management. Any temporary that's been here over 6 months is considered a lawsuit liability. But Rajesh, what does that mean? It means your job will have to be terminated. Terminated? So I'm driving in my car, and all I can think about is turning that car around, driving through the front gates of that place, knocking over the vats of happy cheese, running over the scientists in their little white coats, mixing the blood and the guts with the cheese that's not really cheese into one big pink lubricating mess. And then I looked to my right. To my right was the bag. The very bag that I brought with me to work that day. And in that bag were the pills that I'd stopped taking 6 months before.
Happy pills!
Thank you very much. Thank you, Sid.
That's great.
I rarely sing that song now. It actually takes too much out of me. It's bad memory.
But I've heard it at least, I want to say, 4 or 5 times.
Yeah. Well, it's one of my most requested.
Yeah.
Which is it's a good thing, and it's kind of a curse.
Why is it? It hasn't done you in, has it?
Well, no. I mean, it's a good song. I'm just it's one of those songs, you know, when you're a musician and you have a song that's a hit and everybody wants you to play it all the time. And after playing music for 10 years, you know, you're a little sick of playing it in a sense.
Yeah.
And the thing about Happy Cheese, it brings back such a bad memory of that time. You know, I mean, I was working there for years as a temporary, and now it's like, you know, I was new, I was young, and you know, I figured, you know, I work hard, I'll get hired, you know, eventually, and things were going well, and all of a sudden, on a technicality, I'm thrown out the door.
Yeah, that's. I've had that happen. That was my last job was like that. Although it wasn't a technicality, it was more of a. It was an accusation of an. Can I explain this on radio for you to understand without indicting myself too much? Is an inaccuracy of an inbred manipulative data management.
Are we talking donkey here?
We're talking donkey here.
Oh, okay.
Very donkeyed. I don't mean donkey, but I mean not donkeyed. Donkeyed. So, yeah. Yeah, I worked before I started making my living as a performer. Most people don't know I worked in the publishing industry, and the last job I had was 7.5 years, and that was
that's a long time there, Sid.
It was miserable for me. Not so much for other people, but it was very miserable for me because I wasn't happy. Doing what I was doing. And then once I had my freedom, I think, as I like to call it, I felt a lot better.
Nice.
Doing this other stuff. But of course you have to make money.
Hey, of course.
Other stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know. Well, rich experience is not going to make money being rich experience.
No.
I'll tell you that right now.
Certainly
don't have delusions to that effect.
Yeah, you could be a gymnast, though. Is that something you've considered?
Well, I could possibly teach gymnastics. You know, I've thought about that before, but I'm just way. I'm too exacting. I want people to do things a certain way, and if they don't do it right, I tend to insult them, and little kids start crying, and things go downhill from there.
Yeah, well, we live in a different America than perhaps 20 years ago, maybe. Political correctness came in, and suddenly you had to be nice to everybody. And what I mean by that is, I'm not saying that you didn't have to be nice before, but people were a bit more abrupt and blunt about things, about the way they had said things, the way that they had done things, because now everything kind of stems into a lawsuit, or it's harassment, or some kind of bully thing, or it's kind of like walking on eggshells.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the kid misses the routine. You can't just smack him in the head and make him sit in the corner for a while. You can't do that anymore.
No, because now it's a lawsuit.
Unless I was in Russia or something like that. That's why they have such a good team.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Maybe Venezuela or Iran or North Korea.
Yeah, oh, North Korea. Well, if I was in North Korea, I'd be a robot or something. But yeah, I can hit another song. This one's about unemployment, actually. After the old Kraft song, I was unemployed, and I was laying in bed. And, you know, when you're used to getting up every day for a job you've been working at for 5 or 6 years, you wake up in the morning and you're wide awake and you're sitting there and you want to do something. You just can't figure out what, and you want to go back to sleep. You just can't. And I was laying there and my cat comes up and just starts nuzzling me, you know, and doing his little cat thing with a purr, purr kind of stuff. And I'm like smelling him. He's got a little smell to him. He's got a little odor. And I'm like, well, you know, I should give him a bath. I've never given a cat a bath and or bathed him off, but it kind of makes sense. You know, I take a shower, you know, every few days, and I should wash off the cat. Give him the cat a bath. Give him the cat a bath. Nothing better to do today. I'm giving the cat a bath. Giving the cat a bath. Wake the kids and phone the neighbors. I'm giving the cat a bath. Giving the cat a bath. Giving the cat a... Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Oh, yes. Good kitty likes it. Good kitty likes a bath. Good kitty likes a bath. Good kitty likes it, yes. Good kitty likes it, yes. Giving the cat a bath. Giving the cat a bath. Nothing better to do today. I'm giving the cat a bath. Oh yeah. Giving the cat a bath. Hoo ha. Giving the cat a bath.
That's funny.
That's true, actually. That happened also. You know, the thing was, after I started sudsing him up, you know, I had the shower going, and it was kind of, you know, warm water. I was holding him down. He was trying to get out of that tub, man. He wanted to get out of that tub bad. But I had him by the scruff of the neck. I'm holding him down, and he starts sudsing up. You know, he starts purring. His tail comes up. He starts loving it. Just loves that soaping down kind of thing. Then you towel him off afterwards. They just run all over the place like little maniacs.
Yeah, I've never had a cat. I've had friends that have cats and roommates that had cats, but I never had a cat, never had a dog, never had a snake, never had a goldfish, never had a bird, no form of pets.
No form of pets at all. Worms?
Spiders.
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 Oh, wow. Spiders. That's kind of neat. Yeah.
But they're not those kinds of spiders. They're more like daddy long legs or brown recluses, you know, the kind that bite you.
Oh, well, brown recluse. I've read about that, yeah.
Yeah, my...
You got bit by a brown...
Yes, I was.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You have.
Folks,
look at
I'm
that.
I'm showing him a scar on my left arm. It
Whoa.
Goes about, I guess it's probably a few inches, would you say?
I'd say it's like 2.5, maybe 3 inches in diameter.
Yeah, that's what's left of it.
Oh.
I think I was living... At that time, I must have had... It was about 86, so it was about 25.
Wow.
That time, and I was still living at my parents' place, which you do when you're in your 20s. That's what it seems to be the norm these days. And I don't remember what happened, but I remember coming home. I was taking the Swift home. I had parked my bike at the Swift, and I remember coming home, and my entire left arm was bright red. And I have no clue what it was, and... they took me to the hospital, and I was in the hospital for about 4 days.
Wow.
And they told me, You know, I didn't want to take pills, of course, and like these horse pills, these giant pills.
Right.
And they're like, well, okay, if you don't take the pills, we'll just open you up and drain your arm out. I'm like, I'll take the pills.
So when did they find out that they figure out it was a brown recluse?
They
figured
it out almost like the day after I was admitted.
Wow. Yeah, folks, a brown recluse is a dangerous spider that is pretty much native to this area and general areas around here, mainly throughout most of the U.S.
And they're tiny.
They're very, very small. Yeah. They have kind of a face design on their abdomen. And the thing is, when they bite, they hide in boxes and they make little, in corners and little dark places. And they will bite. And when they do, it's kind of a necropolis. It makes your flesh basically rot away around the area. And so Sid is looking here. He's got a big, a full dollar-sized round area on his bicep that looks like it's been eaten away, then healed back.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a miracle. I don't know. It looks like a... don't know what it looks like, but... that's one of the few scars.
It's kind of like the Virgin Mary. Kinda.
Sure, but nobody's coming around to worship it. I haven't seen it yet. Nobody's licked it quite yet, or nobody's... There's been no salt tears on it.
When I was a kid, I used to keep reptiles. I had lots of freaking reptiles. Lizards, snakes, turtles. For a while, I used to keep garter snakes. I used to find them in the backyard, and I'd keep them. And the thing about snakes is they tend to get loose. They tend to get out.
Yeah.
And every single one I had about 13 of them. Each one escaped at some point. Squirmy, slimy, I had all these goofy names for them. They all got out. And then after, a few years later, we were changing the carpeting, downstairs. In the family room, and pulled up the carpeting, and there was one of the snakes. It was stuck to like the carpeting tape.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Yeah, I like to tell this story because my parents relocated to Arizona, and my mom told me the story about snakes, and I've seen them. When I've walked along the roads at night, you can kind of see when they're shedding. Okay, and the carcasses are about 6 feet long. Well, I've seen that. Well, I remember walking along. There's two stories here. I remember walking along. It was winter. It must have been about December, January. And they burrow underground.
Yeah.
Well, in Arizona, that's what they do during the winter. Even though winter is, 30, 40 degrees there.
Ooh, yeah. And big groups.
Yeah.
To keep warm.
Yeah, well, I remember walking along the road. I happened to look down in the sand or the dirt road, and there you could see one right underneath, and you could see the tread marks. I mean, it was just right there. It was just probably sleeping. And I, from that point on, before stepping on it, I decided to just hop on the road and just walk on the road and take the chance of being hit by a vehicle as opposed to being bitten by a snake. And the other one, the other story that my mom told me about was neighbor. Neighbor who was going to their storage space. And they went to the storage space, and there, sleeping, coiled around, is like a 10-foot diamondback.
Wow.
Yeah. Needless to say, the neighbor obviously didn't need what he needed in the storage space that afternoon. So, so that's my thing.
Man, he's a 5-foot mongoose.
Yeah, I've seen him only in zoos, and I've seen him once or twice. I saw one in Oregon. I saw a green snake. Really, those really fast ones.
The racers. Yeah, the racers. Green racer.
Yeah, I saw one. I think it looked at us, and then it. I looked at it and just went the other way. They don't. Apparently, they're like coyotes. They don't exactly like people either.
Crazy, man. Yeah, here in Illinois, we've got the reptile swap actually, which is used to be in Barrington, Illinois, but now it's down in Wheeling. And all the herpetologists and people into lizards and snakes go there, and they can swap in a reptile like a snake or a lizard for a different one, and there's all kinds of stuff there. And about noon, you know, the government people show up to see if anybody's got anything illegal, you know, and once they leave around 1 o'clock, all the weird stuff comes out. I mean, it's just like giant snakes and the guys that have like pythons that are over 20 feet long, they bring them out. And I remember this one guy, I brought out this reticulated python. It must have been easily over 20 feet long. It was in one of those giant plastic garbage cans. Yeah. You know, it took two people to haul it out because it must have weighed, you know, over 200 pounds. And he puts it off, takes the lid off, and this big, giant head, multicolored, about the size of a football, comes out of this garbage can. And it starts looking around, just starts looking back and forth. And it's beautiful, actually. It was kind of purplish and gold and all these cool colors. Reticulated pythons are actually really good looking. And there's all these little kids running around. It's like, man, that thing would make a little meal out of them. Mind if I hit the...
Yeah,
song
on
this
one?
Yeah, this is a song. This song I wrote when I used to go there a lot. I used to sing this little song when I was driving the car on the way to the old reptile swap. Reptile swap, a reptile swap, everybody go to the reptile swap. Reptile swap, a reptile swap, everybody go to the reptile swap. Reptile swap, a reptile swap, everybody go to the reptile swap. Reptile swap, a reptile swap, everybody go to that reptile swap. If a reptile's what you want to do, reptile swap's the place for you. Alligators, lizards, turtles, snakes, all kind of critters run about the place. Australian-bitted dragons, leprechauns too, chameleons, chameleons. The reptile swap, everybody go to the reptile swap. Reptile swap, a reptile swap, everybody go to the reptile swap. Yee-haw, whoop-de-doo, reptile swap the place for you. Yee-haw, whoop-de-dee, reptile swap for you and me. If reptile's what you want to do, reptile swap's the place for you. Millions of reptiles, reptiles for me. Millions of reptiles, reptiles for free. Millions of reptiles, reptiles for me. Millions of reptiles, reptiles for free.
God, that's great.
Thank you, Sid. Yes.
Oh, no, thank you, Rich.
Thank you, audience. As you see, I can mimic a guitar with this little thing, too, actually. It's very,
Yeah, I think, you know, John Lennon did say he could make a guitar speak, and I think that's what he...
Oh, very good. Well, I'm trying to make a guitar speak.
Yeah, I'm certain you can do that a lot better than he can at this time.
I don't know about that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any doubts. I'd like to know, what keeps you happy?
Oh, man. Honestly, I really enjoy going out and playing. Tomorrow I've got a big show over at Live Wire Lounge at 10 p.m.
That's a Flabby show, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a Flabby show. It's actually the first time I played a Flabby show as Rich Experience. I've gone there and jammed, you know, occasionally with him, but it's the first time I've actually put on a show there at 3394 North Milwaukee Avenue, the Live Wire Lounge.
It's about, 2 miles down from here?
Yeah, it's a little way down Milwaukee from here. Yeah, it should be a really good show. We've got my friends Pick Noor are going to be playing. They play about once a year, and they play a very raunchy, unusual show, I have to say, and is actually very humorous and kind of disturbing in a way. But I guess some people say my stuff is a little bit too.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Not as much as they would think. But no. Livewire, just so you folks out there know, used to be Metal Shaker.
Ah, okay. Yeah, this will be my first time there. I'm going to be playing there for the first time. It'll be the first time I've actually gone to the bar.
It's really a great venue. I played there with the Henchmen.
Oh, really?
And I think I did a Flabby show there maybe about 3 months ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a pretty good venue.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the show tomorrow. It should be a... Should be really cool. Any of you folks, you know, got some time on Friday night, head on out to the Live Wire. I'll be doing a full set.
It'll be warm out, too.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, get that.
Yeah, it's supposed to warm up tomorrow. We're supposed to heat wave tomorrow, I think, is 40. So, you know, comparatively so, we're still in winter for a few more weeks. But what keeps you awake at night?
You know, actually, at night I have kind of a weird fear of tornadoes for some reason, and I have dreams about tornadoes quite a bit. Strangely enough, I started watching Storm Chasers on Netflix. You know,
yeah.
And my dreams about tornadoes have stopped. You know, I guess it's, you know, being cathartic watching these guys chase these tornadoes and stuff, but. Yeah, you know, when I was a kid living in Naperville, I mean, the weather was a lot worse than in Chicago. You know, we rarely have any, like, monster storm coming through where you got to run to the basement and hide, you know, for your life. But in Naperville, I used to, the sirens go off, you know, used to freak me out. For some reason, I keep having those dreams about those tornadoes. You know, I'm running and I got to get to the basement, this tornado's coming, sirens going off. I realize that my snake is still upstairs in my room. I got to run up there and get him, you know. And I'm like, oh, I got to run up the stairs and get the snake. And you know, windows are blowing out and stuff. It's freaky, man.
Yeah, I know. I live in Evanston, and we had a few of those go off. And I remember these monster. They're literally monster storms because we live right off the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll just come straight in. Although they say we're protected by the lake. Obviously, that doesn't matter because, you know, a few years ago in Wicker Park, there were tornado warnings for Wicker Park.
I remember that, yeah.
Chicago, yeah. I mean, those are unheard of. I'm certain it's global warming.
It is pretty unheard of. It could be the old global warming coming through.
Yeah. Is this leading this? Am I assuming that this is going to lead into another song? Or
well, yeah. Let's.
I figured as much, but
this is a song about. It's about life, death, and redemption. I was trying to get to work one day, and I ran down the stairs, and I was hanging out, you know, waiting for the bus on the corner, and I looked down, and there was this lifesaver on the ground. It was a green lifesaver of all things. And I was kind of hungry because I didn't have breakfast, you know, so I'm kind of interested in looking down at it, and there's all these little ants just crawling around, just swarming all over this thing, you know, and I look over, and here comes this little kid just walking up next to me, going to school. He's holding on to his mom's hand. He lifts up his foot like he's going to step on this thing, like he's going to crush it. He's going to crush all these ants and everything, you know, and his mom pulls him away at the last second, just yanks him away at the last second, and I'm thinking, I'm looking at it, you know, should I eat it? Should I step on it?
Maybe I step on you. Maybe I don't. Maybe I step on you. Maybe I don't. Maybe I step on you. Step on you, step on you. Maybe I step on you. Maybe I don't.
So I'm walking home from work. Just rained outside. All these little worms just crawling across the sidewalk. Little worm, man. Why aren't you in the ground just hanging out with your little wormy friends?
Maybe I step on you. Maybe I don't. Maybe I step on you. Maybe I don't. Maybe I step on you. Step on you, step on you. Maybe I step on you. Maybe I don't.
So I'm walking up the stairs of my apartment, you know. Open up the door. Look over. Oh, here comes my cat. Just saunters on up next to me. Rolls over on his back. Looks at me with these big green eyes.
Maybe I step on you. Maybe I don't. Maybe I step on you. Maybe I don't. Maybe I step on you. Step on you, step on you. Maybe I step on you. Maybe I don't.
You know, so maybe that has something to do with tornadoes somewhere in there, you know.
Yeah, we're...
Act of God, you know, maybe you get stepped on, maybe you don't.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out where that was going.
Well, it's life and death, you know, I mean, the worms, you know, he's crawling across the sidewalk, he doesn't know, I mean, somebody's walking around and step on him, and That's sure. It. You know, see
yeah,
it coming.
People step on ants every day. I mean, it's not right, yeah. Ants or worms. I try to avoid that, actually, if I can.
Yeah, I guess to a tornado, you're just another little ant to get stepped on.
Because you realize, though, that if you step on an ant or a worm, there's always another one to come after you.
Oh, that's a scary thought there, Sid.
You've never heard that before. It's like, if it's kind of like, you know, if you mess with a baby badger, you got to deal with the mama badger.
Nah, the honey badger.
Not the honey badger. Like a Wisconsin badger, you know.
Oh, the Wisconsin badgers.
Kind of,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like those kind of badgers, you know. Where do you see yourself in maybe, this would be like an interview question, I think.
Oh, but, interview questions, good.
Yeah, but, sounds like, drilling out there, I think, right?
Ah, it sounds like someone's firing up the old, drink mix maker, actually. Maybe some margaritas going on.
Oh, yeah, that's probably what it is. Where do you see yourself in, 3 to 5 years from now? Obviously, you're still going to be playing. Do you have any records?
Oh, yeah, I have CDs of my music. I've got my music up for free download at my website, richexperience.net. Anybody wants to go there, they can download all my music. You know, it's all free. I also hand out, I've got CDs I hand out at the show. You know, I really don't expect to make a lot of money doing this. So, and I do have a job, so I don't charge for the CDs. Now, if I didn't have a job back when I didn't have any money, I'd charge for, you know, a CD for a beer or, you know, $5 or something, but considering I've already got cash, you know, it's just, you know, you try to get the word out about your music, you know, and that's tough to do.
Yeah.
There's enough music in the world as it is, you know.
Well, I'd like to tell musicians, at least people I talk to, that I'd say that Europe has you have a better shot in Europe than you do in America, because in America, I'm not saying it's bad to have a lot of musicians, but the problem is Americans are very fickle, and it's hard enough to get one person to a show, let alone 40. And if you're not obviously definitely. you're not on a major label or a major indie label or something that can affect you, you can only invite your friends and your family for so long, until they kind of peter out.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, yeah, for me it's cathartic. I like to get out there on stage and do my thing. And you know, it makes me feel really good after I'm done doing something like that. And, you know, to me, music is, it's you know, I enjoy it. And the audience, I kind of hope that they enjoy it. But, you know, in a sense, I want to hurt them. I want to make them feel pain. You know, I want to
musically, of course.
I want to put something in their head they can't get out. You know, it's called I think they call that a mind worm. It's a part of music, say Happy Cheese, that's stuck in your head for the next 3-4 days, and you can't really get it out of your brain.
Have you had it happen where people remember it for years?
Yes, actually, yeah, that does happen quite often. You know, a lot of times I'll do it at some place, and I'll get like a really bad reception. You know, which happens a lot. You know, I do some weird stuff, and I get bad receptions. And me, I don't care. It's fine with me. It's good to get bad receptions every now and then. But then, you know, I'll get done, and I'll be putting my stuff away, and all I hear is, Happy Cheese, you know, being sing from, like, X table to X table or something
like that.
You know, and it's like, well, there you go.
that's what you want to leave them with, that lingering memory or lingering taste in their brain.
Yeah, lingering something, you know, that's what it means.
Yeah, that's the only words we can use really about it. Yeah, I know, I've certainly had a lot of bad receptions. Have you had a lot of hecklers or
some hecklers, you know, but I say bring it. I don't care if people heckle me, then go for it. It's all part of the show to me. I'm up there, I'm going to do my thing. Someone heckles me or whatever, then I can either heckle them back or just ignore them. I'll just keep playing.
Yeah, unfortunately, the beauty of these days, anytime you get a heckler and the musician or the comedian or whatever, if they get into it, you know, somebody's filming it. They're always filming it. Somebody's always filming it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, which is a bad thing.
Hmm.
Can ruin a career or two. Well, it can make you a star.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, you know, I'm not a comedian. I have a very thick skin. I'm actually a musician, not a comedian, and so I don't have that insecurity that tends to haunt the comedians of the world. And so, you know, I can handle that kind of stuff. And plus, you know, I when I started playing, it was at Innertown Pub, their open mic, and basically no one listens to the, you know, you, when it was there, no one really listened to the musicians. There's a giant pool table like 3 feet in front of you with people playing pool. Mm-hmm. And if you're lucky, you know, and you do something kind of out there, you can kind of make them miss a shot, you know, because you distract them. So that was kind of like my motivation, you know. I try to like get the guys that are playing pool to miss something, you know. And I kind of laugh at them.
It's kind of like playing golf.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like, I remember what we used to, when I lived in Morton Grove, we used to ride our bikes, and we'd ride them up to, I want to say it was up in Skokie, because there's like a, there's a golf club, like a country club, you know, right there where they played golf. So we used what we used to do is we used to carry air horns. And right at that precise moment when they're taking that swing, we'd blow those air horns.
Whoa, nice. Yeah. Did it work?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a great
idea. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember because the country club cops would come around. Mm-hmm. And they were looking for people with, they were looking for the people with the air horns. We would just take off laughing.
Oh, nice, yeah. You know. Yeah, you know, when I was, as a gymnast, I trained for stuff like that. I mean, that was our thing. You know, no matter what happens, roof blows off the gymnasium, you know, somebody throws their drink at you and you're up there doing your routine, you know, you don't stop. I mean, you don't let that faze you. Yeah, we used to do sets and everyone would take their socks off and throw it at your head while you're doing your set, you know, and you do an entire set with people whipping stuff at your head.
Well, and, it depends what they put in the sock, right?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine the sock is not exactly light.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, they could put something in there, like a rock or something like that. But, I mean, the point is you don't mess up, I mean, under any circumstance. So I kind of carry that through to the music side. There's, you know, so they can throw stuff at me or whatever. And I can grab it in my teeth and either eat it or, you know, spit it back at them, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Would you like to do another song for us?
Yeah, sure. I'll do a song about something I love to do. It's about, I'm a skateboarder, actually. I was,
really?
I was a longboarder. I longboarded way back, and I think it was 2000. I was seventh in the nation in longboard championships. That was a weird story. It was downhill.
This is a true story.
Yeah, it's a true story, right.
Wow, I've never heard this before.
Yeah, it was the first time I competed. It was kind of a weird thing of luck because, you know, I was into skateboarding. I got into longboarding, and then I got into slalom. And the thing about Chicago, there's no hills here, right? So you can't really practice on a hill. And what you do is they set out cones. And like skiing, you go in between the cones and you try to reach the bottom of the hill as fast as possible without knocking over any of the cones. And they had the course up online. And what I did, I went out to, I think went out to one of the schools around here and the parking lot. And I set up the cones from west to east. And I kind of have a little backwind. And I just do it on flat. You know, I'd work on flat. And then I went down to South Carolina to compete, and it rained. It rained for like the first time in weeks, you know. So they had to move the meet. They had to move the competition to a bus terminal, and the bus terminal was flat as a pancake. So there was no hill, and so I had a serious advantage. I had a serious advantage where everyone else was used to going down a hill, dodging cones. I'm used to the flat, so I had a major advantage over that. And, you know, the guys that were really good were really good. I couldn't touch them at a 10-mile pole, but I was able to squeak in a top 10.
It's pretty amazing. Did you actually win a plaque for that, or did you?
No, I didn't get anything for seventh place. You got to get top three. Nothing like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this song called Skateboarding. Skateboarding, skateboarding, I wanna go. Skateboarding, skateboarding, I wanna go. Skateboarding, heck yeah. Skateboarding, skateboarding, I wanna go. Skateboarding, oh yeah. Ride that concrete wave. S- Skateboarding, skateboarding, I want to go. Skateboarding, oh yeah. Thank you, Sid.
Yeah. Hey, you're welcome, Rich.
Thank you, people out there in Radio Land.
So, I want to ask you this: have you? I'm assuming you've been interviewed before.
Yes, actually, once more up in like Northwestern University. I was on their show once.
Yeah, and I guess I wanted to ask you this though: if you've only been interviewed one other time, is there anything you've ever wanted to say in an interview that nobody's ever asked you? Within reason.
Within reason.
I mean, you know.
Well, you know, it's good to talk about my songs, actually. I mean, the strange things, people, these songs actually have meanings. They have reasons. They have, they're pulled from my heart, actually, which is kind of weird.
Why is that weird?
Well, on the outside, they seem very simple, you know. I mean, they're very funny. You know, Happy Cheese is a funny song, but it's actually very sad. It's a very sad song, and you know, Work Face is another song that's you know, it's everybody has to deal with, and that's kind of sad too. But yeah, it's kind of nice to talk about these things. But I do have some funnier songs. I got a song called Monkey Poop, you know, where I have my friend who was a gorilla come out and dance around for a while I do the song. That's a good one. I've got a new one called This Room is Filled with Robots, which is actually inspired by the Occupy Chicago movement, which I got into for a while. And I got another song, let's see, it's called The Last Goth and The Only Goth in Town, that's right, about my friend Paul, who was a big goth guy and back in high school. Of course, he happened to live in a small town in Iowa, and he was the only goth in the small town in Iowa.
Yeah. Right. What city were you in? Was it Iowa City or was it?
Iowa City. Iowa City is the University of Iowa.
Yeah.
So I actually met him there, and you know, he was one of my friends in college, and we used to hang out at a club called Stigmata, which was an industrial dance club. They did one a night, and it was gothic industrial kind of stuff. Back when Nitzareb and Front 242 were really big into that.
Yeah, Iowa City, I would imagine, was not as was a fairly small. Is it a fairly small
It's a fairly small city. You know, it's a medium to small size university. It's much bigger now, of course. It just keeps growing.
Well, sure, sure. And just what? And obviously, you came here. You came back here, and then just kind of you just wanted to come back here. Obviously.
I wanted to come back to Chicago. I didn't want to stay in Iowa. I mean, Iowa's a nice place, but I wanted a big city. I want a larger city. You know, and hang out where there's more people, more things to do. I grew up in Naperville, and I really don't want to ever go back to that area.
No.
Although I do work out there, which is rather unusual.
Yeah. I know. I grew up in Park Forest myself, and south suburbs, and Chicago Heights, around Chicago Heights, and a home at Flossmoor, which is really south.
Ah.
But then I kind of landed in northern suburbs, but I'm more, even though I'm city-like, I'm more suburban, even though because I live in the suburbs. But,
all right, yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, you've got that suburban kind of, I'm no longer, for some reason, everyone I know that, my friends that came from Naperville and people I meet that are from Naperville in the city, they tend to be the weirdest, most out there people I know.
Yeah, it's like you create whatever you create, although my canvas is really the city, and wherever I create, and not at home. At home, all I do is I sleep and shower and eat. Sleep and shower. That's it. I don't eat at home either. It's kind of like a shack, you know. Like you go into the shack, you do your stuff in the shack, and then you get out. You do other things. Okay, but this is not about me, so it's about you. So we're getting close to the end here, so I'm going to ask you for one more quick song. I'd like to hear a new one, though, if that's possible.
A new one. Let's see. All right, here's a song about science. I'm a scientist, and here's a song about science. The thing about science is, in being a scientist, some of the mysteries of the world tend to disappear. You know, things that I thought were unusual or different, now they have explanations. Chemicals drive the evolution show. Mitochondria power the human dynamo. Multiple variables predict the future. Swim, dance, jump, silly creature. Consciousness? A fourth dimensional wave, is it love? Or chemicals in my brain? Attraction? The smell of DNA, is it love? Or chemicals in my brain? Consciousness? A fourth dimensional wave, is it love? Or chemicals in my brain? Attraction? The smell of DNA, is it love? Or chemicals in my brain?
Fantastic, Rich. So tomorrow night you are playing at Livewire.
Yes, at the Livewire, yes. 10 p.m.
Is that 3094?
That is 3394. North Milwaukee.
And your website again is richexperience.net.
Richexperience.net, yes.
Okay, great. Rich, I want to thank you for coming on to the show.
Sid, it's always good to see you again.
Yeah, it's always good to see you in regular. Like me, which is happen to be in drag. I'm not in drag today, but, you know, one day I will be.
Oh, yeah, so.
Anyway, folks, we are at the end of our rope here, or at the end of the show, because we do have the next radio gang coming in. So I'd like to say to you, sei gesund. Be sure to tell someone you love them. Be well, stay safe, and good night, Denmark. I'll be home soon.
J'ai dansé avec l'amour. J'ai fait